say that to the Lord this morning, be it unto me. Lord, let the musicians go to their seats. Amen. Welcome to the house of the Lord. It's good to be with you today. I want to go ahead and get into the scriptures this morning. Somebody's enjoying all the rain. Talk to my dad down there. They're just burning up down there in Texas, and he just can't even buy a drop of rain down there, I guess. But anyway, speaking of my dad, he's going to have to find another place to live. The place he's been living in belongs to his wife's children, one of her sons. Anyway, they're wanting rent, and it's not going to be something he's going to be able to pay. So he asked them, we were praying for him, and that the Lord would guide him and tell him what to do and provide for him. So I just ask that you be in prayer. You know, who knows what the Lord's doing there. That whole circumstance has been strange to us, but who knows? The Lord might have something special I know he probably does, but don't want to speculate. So just ask that you would pray. Let's open our Bibles. We're gonna continue on with the same thought we had last week, the responsibility of getting and staying behind the token. So we'll turn to Exodus chapter 12, same scripture reading we had last week on the opening there. And then we'll go to Romans chapter 8. I'd like to subtitle this today, A Pure Conscience. Pure Conscience. Exodus chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be for you, shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And now let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I really like Romans chapter 8. I like a lot of scriptures in the Bible, but that's one of them I really like too. Yeah. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also, or may be also glorified together. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Just bow our hearts for just a moment in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to come to you now and just ask, Lord, that you would take this service into your hands. Lord, we know that each one of us, our life is an open book before you, and you see each one. You see our struggles. You know our weaknesses. You know the strength that you have put in us. And so, Lord, we're just committing our lives into your hands today, this service into thy hands, the things that are said and done into thy hands. And ask, Lord, that you would just come down and be in the midst of this service, Lord, that as your children pull on the word, God, and to operate that gift, Lord, that you would just anoint us all. God, that you would just help us go forward today in the strength that you would have us to go forward in. We love you, Lord. We commit this time into your hands in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. And we love the Lord. So again, we're going to talk about the responsibility to go to get under the token and to stay under the token and a pure conscience. So I had to review just for a little bit to get back where we were last week. And so we realized as we were talking last week how that when God came down to set the children of Israel free, and I want to say this, that he was going to set them free once and for all from Pharaoh.
Yep.
This was going to be it. They weren't going to see Pharaoh or the Egyptian anymore after God did this.
Yep.
And I like to think about that for our day, because we have a Pharaoh that is beating down upon our necks all the time, breathing on us, and wants us to serve him and build his treasure cities. And I like to think that God, in this rapture today, when he gets done with this Exodus, he's going to take us from this place, and we'll never, ever have to deal with Pharaoh again. And so when he was going to do this, Brother Bram said, God came down and was going to set the children of Israel free. And he said, how did he do it? And he said, he did it by the first thing he did. There was three things. The first one was he sent a prophet. And so he sent this prophet, but that wasn't good enough. Not just a prophet, because there were many prophets throughout the ages that was going to come. And so, but this was how God, he identified this and how he provided them this token, this thing that was going to give them escape. First, he would bring a prophet, and then he would identify himself with that prophet with the pillar of fire. So Moses had that ministry, and then by that prophet, by that vindicated ministry of the pillar of fire present with the prophet and doing things that could build the confidence of the people, by that, then he would use that prophet to deliver to them the token message.
Yeah.
And so that was the route the token was going to come. It didn't come some other way. Wasn't going to come some other route.
Right.
It's going to come through a prophet that had a pillar of fire ministry. And through that vindicated ministry, God was going to tell them what they needed to do in order to go out in this Exodus, in order to get Pharaoh off their back.
Right.
And so that's how he did it. And so we talked about how that this Passover night, this token, was the capstone. Brother Bram talked about that, how that it was the capstone of everything he'd done. There was one plague after another plague after another plague. And I've said last week, you know, that the plagues of the frogs and the lice and the fleas and all those things, yeah, each one of those was a strike against Pharaoh, but none of those made Pharaoh let the children of Israel go. They were strikes against him. He was weakened by those things. But it took the final and last plague, and it took the token message for this thing to happen, to actually get the Pharaoh to let him go. And so we know that's a type of, you can do all kinds of things, whatever, but until that blood is applied to your life, Satan don't have to let you go. And he won't let you go, because he knows where the power is. And so, but all those things that God had done through all those plagues, it came right down, and all that would have been nothing, wouldn't have meant anything if he didn't finish it off by bringing the capstone plague, capstone event, which was death. And so he this was a capstone. And so Brother Branham, I mentioned he was talking about, and I think this was in the sermon Desperation, the evening after he preached the token message, and he said, of all the sermons and everything that God had been doing and brought it all down to, that sermon of token was the capping off of the whole thing. That everything that God had done and everything he would say and opening of seals and all the different sermons, It all led up to the one thing, is that you've got to have that token. And that was the capstone. He said that was the most important of all of them, of those sermons. That was it. Brought it right down to that. And he said that when we see what God has done in our day, that he identified himself with us. And I'll say it this way. When we can see that he did send a prophet, that he did put a pillar of fire present with that prophet, and now that prophet has given us, these things should make us desperate. Right. Should make us, give us desperation. And so he tells us that. And so, and as I mentioned, death was the last plague, and the only place of safety away from death was behind the token. And so you have to understand that was a type of New Testament things. But what really happened there, the children of Israel, you know, with all the different plagues, Moses was involved, God was involved, children of Israel just sat back and watched. But when it came time for the token, the children of Israel themselves had to be involved. There was something they had to do. And what that was that they had seen everything that God had done. And so then they come to this place where they had to say, do you believe it? Do you believe everything that God has done? Do you believe Moses come from God? Do you believe these signs? Do you believe God is here to absolutely make this Pharaoh let you go? And if you believe all those previous things before Capstone, all the church ages, all the things that God has done through the ministry of William Branham, of pillar of fire, and all those things leading up, do you believe it? Because Brother Branham's standing there and he's telling the people in this token message, and in desperation, he said, this is the evening time of my message. He's telling us that all this stuff that has happened all the way up through, now it's token time. And so we're asked to do the same thing they were asked to do back then. Do you believe all those things? And if you believe it, then get underneath the token. God's not asking us to call fire from hell and heaven and raise the dead and perform all that. He's just saying, do what you can do, and what you can do is get under the token.
That's right.
You can do this. It's something you can do. Uh-huh. It's not impossible. It's something we can do.
Yeah.
So he's saying, if you believe, and truly, if we do believe these things, desperation does strike, and we do get underneath the token, we will do it. Mm-hmm. And so, But you understand that when they applied the token, that brought life right into their homes.
Yeah.
Because death cannot go where life is. Mm-hmm. Now, in typology, that brought the presence of Almighty God right into the place where they live. And so that death angel would try to come in there, and guess what he's confronted with when he come? He's confronted with the life of, well, it was the life of the Lamb as a token, but in by topology, he was confronted with the life of God standing there to protect the children of Israel through the token. And so this is how God was going to do it. And so in the token, he said you have to apply the blood over the doorpost where everybody can see it. And then you had to get in underneath this blood under the token. You had to eat the Lamb, and you had to eat all of it.
Yeah.
And he is the Word. So it's a type of this day, after God has done all these things, do we really believe it? Then get underneath the message and eat every word of it.
Yeah, right.
Believe every word of it. Obey it, right? So as Brother Ram said, full obedience to the Word of God entitles you to the token. And we're thinking, well, I made mistakes, so I can't do it. That's what we all think, right? But listen to what he's saying. If you see that God has done all these things and you realize the hour has arrived for the token, and you got to then just get underneath the obedience of applying the token. Obedience to do these things he tells you to do entitles you to the protection of the token.
Yeah.
See? You're not protected if you don't obey it and get underneath it. So just get underneath the token, then you're protected. And so obedience to these things entitles you to the token. You still make mistakes. That's fine. We all do. And I say that's fine. You know what I mean? That's it. But there's a channel of how you deal with those things when you make mistakes. And so you just get under the token, stay under the token. If you make a mistake and you fall outside the door, jump back in, type of thing like that. So you understand what I'm getting. Okay, so you had to apply the blood, eat the lamb, and you had to eat it with bitter herbs, and the bitter herbs had a representation of the bondage and the things that was there. And you had to eat it with a staff in the hand and shoes on your feet. The staff in the hands and the shoes on the feet represented urgency. Right? So now God has come down, and I tell you, Brother Bram said, he gives his signs, he gives his wonder, he gives his word, and they don't believe it. He said, to me, that's it. There's nothing left but judgment. And that's true. If God has done all these things that lead up to token, and now we're asked, do you believe it? Can you get under the token? And we're like, well, I don't believe it. I don't know. Uh-huh. Well, that would be offensive to me
right. If
I was God. And I think it probably is to him, because it shows a lack of concern for a birthright like Esau. It shows the fact that we don't really, but if we really do, then we're going to get under there if we have respect for it. And so we have to do it with an urgency. So they were standing there and with a staff in hand and shoes on their feet. It showed that they believed that they were fixing to leave. It showed that there was an urgency, and they knew there was an urgency because death is striking the land. And this is the way Brother Branham, he kind of laid it out. When the little boy had come to his daddy, he said, Daddy, are you sure? Mm-hmm. Are you sure, Daddy? He said, Son, the blood's on the doorpost. Well, are you sure? Because I'm your firstborn. Yes, son, it's according to his word.
Amen.
And he's never failed once. Mm-hmm. It's according to his word. And so, well, Daddy, why is all this stuff? And why is that sweat running down your face? Mm-hmm. This is the way Brother Branham related. So saying sweat should be running down our faces,
yeah.
Right? Why is that sweat running down your face? He said, because death's about to strike, son. Mm-hmm. Death is about to strike, and if this ain't right, it's going to get us too. But it's according to his word. I've done everything the prophet said, and therefore we're standing here, and we're trusting and believing, and when this thing happens, we're gone. Mm-hmm. So because of that, we're standing here with our staff in our hand and our shoes on our feet, because we're expecting to get out of here in just a moment.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean? That means that they're translated to our day. We're not living our life in such a way where we know there's some things we need to take care of before we go.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let that set for just a moment. See, that's the key. To live in such a way that you know you don't have things you got to address before you can go.
Right.
Be ready to go at any moment. And this is the theme of the urgency that's in the Bible, all through the scriptures, to let us know that it's an urgency. You don't know the day or the hour.
Right?
That woman that drowned yesterday morning in that flood in Fort Smith, she didn't know it was her hour.
Right.
But it was. Was she ready? I don't know. But you see, we want to be ready, because when that time comes, just like Jesus said, don't return back. Right? He that's on the housetop coming in, don't go back. He that's out, don't go back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I know those are compound meanings and so forth, but that's what he's telling us in this coming of the Son of Man. Don't. You're not going to have time.
Yeah.
So you want to be ready. So they had the staff in their hands, shoes on their feet, showing that they were ready to leave at any moment. So to live their lives. Our translated to us is to live our lives in a way where there's not something we've got undone. We have to be ready. And so Brother Bram said, and I illustrated this last week, he said, so what if you get under the token, but you had one portion of you was out? And I said, what if your foot was out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe the token. No, you don't, because
right.
You got a foot hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Bram said, well, what if your foot was hanging out, or... He said, or maybe your heart hanging out.
Yeah.
So you realize that a person could absolutely be in underneath the token. Back then, they could have been in the token and absolutely just been so mad, so bitter. Why can't I go outside and play with my friends like I do every evening? Why tonight? We had a big plans tonight. I got plans. Why? And just despise the whole fact that you're standing there in something God has provided for protection, but you despise it. You see what I'm saying? This can happen. Brother Daniels, like you said, Satan wants to make it where you're not happy coming to church.
That's right.
You don't enjoy it. I believe God wants us to enjoy our journey. What's any more wonderful than to see the devil defeated in situations every day?
Yeah.
Right? See him defeated as the Lord Jesus Christ conquers him by his word when we believe it. That's joyful.
Yeah.
Right? But see, so you could be under the token and then despise it. And I would say then there's a problem there. Now, back then, it was a physical token, and I suppose that that child, if he was inside there and did all those things and had the shoes on his feet, even if in his mind he didn't want to be there, he's probably protected. But it's different today.
Uh-huh.
It's a different thing today.
Yep.
And we'll talk about that here in a minute. And so, you don't want some part of your life just hanging out, not obeying when you know you should be. So what if he said, well, I'll eat the lamb, I'll put the blood over the doorpost, and I'll eat the lamb, but I'm not putting the shoes on my feet, and I'm tired, I want to lay down, so I'll have my lamb, and I'll lay back with my pillow, and I'll eat the lamb, I'll even reach over and grab me a bit of herb, but I ain't keeping my shoes on my feet, I'm tired, and I'm not going to stand here with that staff in my hand. These are all indications that it's that they're really not right for the token,
yeah.
Right? So those things all mean something. And just like God had provided a way for Esau, that birthright, and he didn't have respect for it. There was something else that meant more to him than that birthright.
Yeah.
He come in hungry. Mm-hmm. I'm hungry. I want something to eat. And that's worth more to me than that birthright will take care of me for the rest of my life. You see what I mean? And how often it is that we see, even in our own lives, that we're confronted with something and we'll take some little old something that just only lasts for a moment, and it becomes more important to us than something that's going to last through eternity. You see what I mean? So, as I said last week, all the scriptures are given for our admonition, so we can look back and, you know what, that's me. I do that right there. Then change so that you're not like that. Follow the paths of righteousness and the things you see that work for God's people in the Bible. Follow those things and it'll work for you too. And so we want all of ourselves inside the token. And so Brother Ram goes on and he tells us, he says, now the token could only happen at evening time. And here we are, I have seven church ages. And Luther didn't tell us what we needed to have. Neither did Wesley, neither did Pentecost. But now, a vindicated prophet with a pillar of fire is telling us, here's what you got to do if you want to go on this token, go on this rapture. You want to get behind the token. And the token is the life, the true life of Christ. The life that was in the blood. And so now it's evening time. Remember Laodicean message? I'll come in and sup with them, you know, last meal of the day. So it's evening time. So now we got a prophet, a vindicated prophet, a message. It's evening time, so it's token time. And he said it was for the whole family. Now, so if you want to sit here, and Brother Graham's going to say this, and you can see it in scriptures, the token was for the whole family. And he emphasizes for the whole family. And he emphasizes that it's evening time. Then what you have available under token message and at evening time didn't exist prior to that. So what I'm trying to say is that apparently it looks to me like if the whole family can be saved under a token, then yeah, we've had all these years where we weep and cry about our lost children, our lost family, and our wayward ones, and because we didn't have the positive effect that we now have under the message, because now under this, Brother Branham emphasizes that it will work and it is for the whole family.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what he says. It will work, it's for the whole family, but you have to apply the token and the family has to get underneath that token.
Right.
Okay? And so, it's a time where all things are possible to them that believe.
Amen.
I'll say it that way. All things are possible. Why? Because Brother Ram said you and he have become one unit. So when you enter in underneath the token, you do those things, the life of Christ comes to you. You now are one unit with him. And now your compassion, your desires is his desires. Right? Because you're one with him now. So it was for the whole family. I'll read just a couple of things here from this token message. This is pertaining to the whole house being saved. Brother Bam said, If you want to read another one, Acts chapter 16, verse 31, Paul told the centurion, believe. I'm the messenger of the hour. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou and thy house shall be saved. Is that right? Believe for your house. Bring them all under it. Now you've seen God, the God of heaven, perform a miracle just before judgment. You believe it? Yes. What can I do? He said, arise and be baptized. And so Paul took him out and baptized him and said, now believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and thy house shall be saved. Believe what? Believe the Lord Jesus Christ for your house and apply the token to your house. Then what do you do when you apply the token to your house? You move all the trash out, get all the short skirts, shorts, cards, cigarettes, televisions, and what more, and kick them out the door. You're going to apply the token. Won't stand still for it. Take it all out. All the dances, parties, rock and roll, and vulgar newspapers, and stuff that is of the world, kick it out the door and say, we're cleaning up this place around here. Like Jacob did, he told his wives and all them, said, wash your clothes and everything, put away them gods, amen? And you know, Joshua said before crossing over, he said, wash your clothes, come not at your wives and so forth, get ready, for within 3 days we're crossing Jordan, amen? He was getting ready, he was applying the token, amen? That's it. Get ready, apply it, believe it, clean up, let your children, let your family, let your loved ones see it in you, and that it's right, and it will take effect. Yes, sir. You apply the token in prayer with consideration, with believing, apply it with such love and so forth, and you know it's going to take place. That's all. Apply it in confidence, believing it's going to help. Then when you talk to your child or talk to your husband, talk to your wife, talk to this loved one, believe that it's going to help, and stand there and say, Lord, I'm claiming them. They're mine. I'm getting them for you, Lord. Apply it. Create that atmosphere that they just drop right into it. Oh, you are, if you've got the token, you create a spirit around you of power that when you walk, people know that you're a Christian. They love for you to say something to them. They believe your word, what you say. They hold to it. That's it. Apply the token, then walk with it. Claim your household. You must do it now. This is the evening time. Apologize for such long reading, but I'm not apologizing because it's truth. Yeah. And so, it's all for the whole family. So, under the token, nobody has to be left behind. No loved one, nobody that God puts it on your heart, and you believe, and you go to them, then you have to believe it. So this is kind of language that we don't see elsewhere. This is a kind of possibility. Why? Because, you know, we are the capstone. We're coming into the fullness of everything that his whole plan started from the very beginning. Now we're coming to that.
Yeah.
Amen. And so now... We realize that this token was a physical place back in Egypt there when the children of Israel was a physical place where they lived, where they abided each day, right? This is where their home was. So you go to find where's Job? I know he lives down the street, as I always say, but he lives in his house where he abides. So the place for the token was for them to put it. Apply it to the place where they lived. They weren't supposed to apply it to the place down there where they were. Maybe they were the guy that was a carpenter or somebody that a blacksmith or something like that. The command was not necessarily to apply the token to where you were, but it was to apply the token to where you lived. Okay? And that was a physical place, but now it's not a physical place anymore, and yet it's still where you live. And so, you bear with me as I try to describe this. So we know, and Brother Branham illustrates this many times, we know that we have this outside physical realm, a physical world, and we have a physical body. And this physical body can interact, can send out and receive and to this physical world through touch, taste, see, smell, and hear. We got five, you know, inlets or whatever he called it, five different senses that we contact this world. And so we look and say, well, that's you. Well, no, it's really not you. That's just a physical being that interacts with the physical world. But down inside that you is your spirit. And so Brother Bram describes that inside that you have a spirit man, and that spirit has a nature, which is the soul. But that spirit has a way of contacting the spirit realm. So if you kind of think about it, in this natural realm, there's three dimensions, and X, Y, Z, or whatever, but inside this realm, there's also a hidden dimension, or a spiritual dimension, like whenever the prophet's servant saw all the armies gathered around, he was worried about it, and the prophet said, well, there's more with us than with them. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. And then so his servant, then he opened his eyes, and he could see all the hills full of chariots and horses and so forth. And what? He was allowed to see into the spirit realm, see, because there's another realm that's right in existence here with this one of it. And so Brother Bram says, in your spirit, you have five senses that you can contact the spirit realm, right? Touch, he said, imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. And so you don't use your imagination to contact the physical world, but you do so contact your spiritual, okay? And so, in a physical realm, a physical person can walk up and touch you, can walk up and say something to you. So you can be influenced by a physical interaction through flesh. But then in the spirit realm, there are ways that you could be influenced in your spirit from a spirit realm. Satan can say something to you or cause your imagination to run wild. Your conscience, he can seal your conscience, right? So you can interact with your spirit realm through those senses. And so, but down inside that spirit, you have a spirit, okay? You have a spirit, and it contacts these things. But your spirit has a nature to it.
Right.
And that nature is the soul. Mm-hmm. And Brother Bram says that's the real you. Mm-hmm. That's either God or it's not God. If it's not God, it's Satan. That's the real you. That's the guy that never did sin, right? But it lays dormant when you come into this world. So now here you are in your spirit realm. This is where you live. Your soul is down inside that spirit, and that's the real you, and you live in that, okay? And so when I said this token has to be applied to where you live, then it has to be applied to your spiritual life, your spiritual being. And so you have a spirit, but your spirit can be influenced by the Holy Spirit. It can be influenced by evil spirits. So things can come and go in the spirit realm to affect you. But then also things can come from the outside, physical, and affect you.
Right?
Yeah. And so you have to realize the way this all works. But so that's the real you, and you've got a certain nature about you, which is a fallen nature. Even if you're a predestinated child of God, that spirit is in a fallen nature until something happens and you're regenerated. So then, when you hear the gospel, then not in your flesh, it's not saved, not even in your spirit so much, but down inside, in what Brother Bram called the control tower, down in there something takes place. And that nature that you had that anointed your spirit to be, that nature dies and is regenerated, not a different soul, the same one brought up in a newness of life, right? And now that predestinated nature of God is now not dormant, it's now alive, and now it's what comes out into your spirit realm and anoints your spirit. So prior to that, your spirit has a fallen nature. So it has a certain characteristic about it that happens to be worldly, just, you know, whatever, because there's not a regeneration that's taking place down in there. And so that's where you live. All right? You got a certain attitude. You got a certain thing. You lust everything in the world. You're, you know, all these things. Well, that's your spirit, man, and you live down inside there. But when you get the Holy Ghost, when he comes down in there and changes down inside your soul and makes that a living being. Now you've got a different nature. Your spirit, you still have imagination, conscience, memories, affections, right? But now it's got a different nature that's tied to that gene of God, which means that it now agrees with the Word. So now it still can be influenced from God, and it can still be influenced from Satan, right? But it's been regenerated. And so now it's welcoming to the Holy Spirit. Brother Branham had people say, I know you're a Christian because it's a welcome spirit. Yeah. Right? Because what's inside there is not welcoming to the Holy Spirit because it's not, we read it. It's at enmity with God. Uh-huh. Now, he's talking about flesh, and it makes it sound like, you know, well, if you're in the flesh, you can't please God. He's not talking about this. He's talking about the flesh nature of your inward man. That cannot please God. And if you live like that, you're going to die. Right? But when you have that soul that has been regenerated and now the life of God is down inside there, it never did sin. Now your spirit has a different tendency. It doesn't lean toward the things of the world. It doesn't want the things of the world. It can be influenced by them, but it doesn't want those things. The desire has changed. It's a different spirit now. Why? It's different spiritual nature because the soul down inside has been quickened to life. It's different now. Yeah. And so now your spirit's different. What? Your home where you live is now different. Yeah. What's different about it? It's got token all over it.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
Without the token, death can come.
Yeah.
But once that has been applied, once that life of Christ is there, now the Holy Spirit can come in because he's a gentleman. He won't force himself in there. But once you want him in, he comes in. And so now you happily receive the influence of the Word because now you've got a nature that agrees with the Word. You like coming to church. You want to sit with fellowship with believers because you're a different person now. See? So this isn't, you're like, well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Well, do you enjoy the Word? Do you feel condemned all the time? See? But if you know that the man, he can preach it, and even when he's stepping on your toes, you're saying, hey, man, that's right.
Yeah,
I got some cleaning up to do, but it's right. I like to be in the presence of this because it's truth.
Amen.
Why? Because you've got a born-again nature in your spirit there that agrees with the Word.
Yeah,
now, that's where you live.
Right.
And that's where the blood has to be applied.
Right.
Not so much the flesh, but you know, that as the soul comes out and knows the spirit, and your spirit abides and lives by what's in there because that's the nature, then your spirit will come out and anoint your flesh.
Yep.
And your flesh will act out things according to the spirit, which is according to the soul. This is the way it should work.
Yep.
But now Satan comes along and he'll trip you up. And the reason why I say that is because even when you're born again and you have a different nature in your spirit, you still remember the things you did that was wrong.
That's right.
You still remember those songs. And all those things you did. And they're laying there. Brother Bram said, you'll always be hindered. You'll always have that old nature will be there to mess with you all the days of your life. So God doesn't take that away. So Satan can still say, oh, hear that song they're playing? Remember you used to go out and party and listen to that song? And remember that? And try to get your spirit to act upon what you used to do. But you don't want it now because you're regenerated. So instead of taking that in and saying, okay, and beginning to entertain some of the stuff you used to do, you say, nope, I take Jesus Christ and I send him to the door.
Yeah.
There's your token.
Yeah.
See? It's the battle that you fight. What you do when Satan, because he's going to buffet you each day.
Right.
God lets him do that. He's going to strike at you with new things, with old things, with repetitive things. Mm-hmm. He's going to do those things. God gives him the right to do that. You've got a punch coming. He knows your weaknesses. He's going to try to trick you, see? But this is a spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
So these things are coming at you, and sometimes they come in the form of spirit things. Sometimes they come through the flesh to excite that memory. Because, you know, when you hear it with this physical ear, that means it's coming through the flesh realm into spirit. Now it's trying to get you to remember that. And that Satan just wants you to dwell, and he wants you to say yes and bring that entertainment of that thought of that music you used to listen to. He wants you to bring that in. And as soon as you do that, now he can start anointing that and start gaining strength in your spirit realm. See what I mean? What's happened there? You didn't have the token of life. You're letting through. You're letting something come in to influence you instead of making sure the token's at the door.
Right.
See? So, you still have to apply the token to the place where you live, and where you live is in your spiritual man to fight these things and call, let the Lord Jesus Christ go to the door. So, death wants to come in. Satan wants to come in and destroy you. Now, if he can do it in the spirit realm by whispering to you and saying, remember that song? Remember those times? Don't you miss that? And he's allowed to do that. He could do it that way, or he can try to approach you through something outward in the physical flesh, which translates, eventually comes into spirit realm.
Right.
So I want to kind of dwell on that, because when Brother Graham says, we're going to clean up around, we're going to put out the magazine, the television, blah, blah, blah. He's going to get rid of all these things, okay? Until you get rid of those. He's saying that for a reason.
Yeah.
And that is because all of those things pack spirits. So let me explain something to you. So we need to stop interacting with this world out here and thinking that it's not attempts of the devil to trick us. Because you have to realize, Brother Graham said, he talked about how that whenever we got to get into the spirit of the composer. So you have a composer, and he's in him, he's got this gift in him, he's got this anointing inside, and this is moving inside him, and he composes a song, a music.
Yeah.
Right? And it goes on to the sheet music, and you can, you know, there it is. It's physically, so it's physical now. It was something inside in the spirit realm, but now he's put it out physically. It's on paper, and so now music groups can take that, and they can play that. But Brother Ram said, now, in order for them to play it right, they have to get into the same spirit of the one who wrote it, right? So every time you listen to a song, every time, you have to realize that there was a spirit that moved, that brought that song. And now that song packs with it that spirit. So that when you receive that song, the end idea, the end product there of what Satan wants, if it's Satan or God, if it's a song, a godly song, the thing is there is that to get you into the spirit, the same spirit of the one who wrote it. So when you listen to music that comes from the world, and we think that that music that comes from the world is going to have a spirit behind it of God? No. Same way with movies. Really? Hollywood? You think that's godly spirit's going to produce a movie, even though they call it a Christian movie? See? Everything we interact with is spirits. So, short skirts. There's a spirit that inspired that because it used to not be.
Right.
It used to not be that way. And now some evil spirit come along and convince somebody who got a little bit of power, a little bit of persuasion. Now we've got this movement of ungodly dressed women and their spirits behind it. And then if we come along and we partake of that, we invite that spirit. Now we run in the excess of that spirit that inspired it in the first place.
Yeah.
That's what Brother Ram said. The name Elvis. He said, that name couldn't be spoken until this day. And I said, I don't think he meant that a person's mouth couldn't say it, but what he's saying is the inspiration behind that name was released in our day. And now it's spoken, and now it goes out, and then people brace that and call him the king of rock and roll, and now they run in the same excess of that evil spirit because it went from spirit realm into flesh, acted out in flesh, was received with flesh, and now in the spirit of the person who received it. You know what happened? They didn't have the token over their home, so they listened to it. They had a doorway where it came in, and now death come right into their experience. See what I mean? Now, death has been told, you can go through the land, and you get them all, unless they got the token. So now here's what you do, death angel. I want you to use every possible way you can. Not just in the spirit realm to nag at people, try to get them to remember the sinful things they used to do, to go back to them. Not just that, but I want you to anoint every song, every newspaper, every magazine, every football game, every sports. I want you to anoint everything you can so that your spirit gets in the thing, and then as it goes and propagates through humans, as they receive that, then you'll move into them and you'll live in them. That's the way it works. So, what's the best way to keep all that stuff from happening? The magazines, the television, every avenue that Satan has been given the right to use, the best thing to do is make sure that when it comes to your house, that you send the Holy Ghost to the door.
Amen.
That you put the token there. So when Brother Bim says, we're going to apply the token, we're going to make sure that when that guy tries to come to this home, he ain't coming in. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I don't listen to his televisions. I don't read his magazines. I don't go to the places he goes. You see what I'm saying? I don't do those things. And why do I not do these? Because I believe a message and I've obeyed the token. Because mm-hmm. I've lined up with it. See what I mean? I've lined up with it. And therefore, because I've lined up with it, I don't have these things in my life. So Satan can't touch me. Right? He can't talk to me. He can't get to me. Why? Because the token is at the door. Your spirit being has the Holy Ghost there, agreement with the Word, and has applied these things, and is not feeding on these things, does not have these avenues available. This is why Brother Brim said this, because he knew that there were spirits behind the dress and by the apparel and behind all those things. Anything that's ungodly, anything that's not of the Spirit of God, then Satan's in it. Keep saying that. And so you must realize that when you stand, you sisters, you stand and you look at a piece of clothing on the rack, there's an inspiration that's behind that piece of clothing. Why is it, Brother Ram said, well, they don't make those things anymore. They told him, he said, yeah, but they make sewing machines and good. Well, what's he talking about? He's not telling you don't go find something at the store. Now if you can find, but you got, as a Christian, you ought to be able to look into that and see the spirit behind it and say yay or nay to it. Knowing where it come from. We are spiritual beings. We're fighting spiritual battles. And when we walk through this spiritual land, we're to look out and identify what's enemies and what's not. Slay those things that are enemies and accept those things that are from the Lord. So when you're going to a physical place, looking at physical clothing or a store or a group of people with some idea or whatever, and you're going to those things like that, there is spirit behind that, and it's our responsibility to look at that and determine whether that's an enemy or not and slay it if it's an enemy. Don't go there if it's an enemy. That's what we're to do. And these things come both in spirit realm and they come through flesh to anoint spirit. So that's why he said these things. We're going to apply the token, clean up these things right here. So, and he said anything is of the stuff of the world. Right? Because, listen, if we've got the Holy Ghost in us, we know whether that's of the world or not. We know. If you got a relationship with God, there's a little something out down in there that goes off if it ain't right. See? So all God's asking us to do is to live yourself in today in such a way that which is in you, that Holy Spirit which is in you, is satisfied. Right? It'll be satisfied not feeding on the things of the world, not having these avenues, but walking in a way that those things are not there, that they don't influence you. Now, to try and bring this to Romans 8, because your spirit man, now that it's been born again as a Christian, so it doesn't have that nature of the flesh, but you still have a commission to live by the Spirit and say no to the things of the flesh. Because you can let Satan influence you. You can start partaking of things you shouldn't. And if you're doing that down inside, you're miserable. And you can get yourself in a place where you're feeding on things. You're letting the black dog have the strength because you've been feeding him. You can get yourself in a place like that where Satan has a heyday with you because of disobedience. And I don't say you're lost, but if you're a child of God, you can't be lost. So it just means, as I read, brother, yesterday, you're going to get a spanking. God's going to whip you.
Right.
See? But we all have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And we all have to come to that place where we finally realize, I'm a son of God. But until you come to that place, you don't know, right? You wouldn't know until you come to that revelation. So you might, a lot of times Christians and people who are not going to be Christians are found doing the same stuff until they come to that revelation or whatever. And so you have to come to that spot where you know you're a child. And then when you know you're a child, you do things wrong. You know you got it coming. Right? But then the other one can say, well, I'm a child of God too, and it don't bother me. But a child of God knows those things. He knows it.
Yeah.
He knows it. He knows it's wrong. You want proof whether or not God wants you? Do you have conviction when you hear the word? Right?
Amen.
Do you have him dealing with you? Or is it just like water off a duck's back? It doesn't even touch you. See? And so, in your spirit, you're, when Paul, we read it in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now, not future tense, because it'll be then too. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Them that are in Christ Jesus, and he clarifies it, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Yeah.
Because you can be in Christ, you can have that, and then let the devil get one over on you, and you got a spank, and you got condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
But to a person who's applied the token, their spirit realm has got the Holy Ghost all over it.
Yeah.
It's in agreement with the Word. It feeds on the Word. And every time Satan tries to come at you through that spirit realm or through the flesh, you say no. There's no condemnation to that guy. Right? There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh,
right,
but after the Spirit. And when we say flesh, he's not talking about your desire to eat a bowl of cereal.
Right?
He's talking about the unregenerated, if you're not regenerated, that nature of that spirit, or if you are, the thing that still lays there that Satan can tempt. We are not to live by that.
Right.
We are to live by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, and not according to that which is the same nature that's in your flesh. We're not to live by that. So he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So the law of the Spirit of life. What is the law of the Spirit of life? Anywhere where the Spirit of life is, death can't be. Right? But there is a law of sin and death, that where sin is and where the effects of sin is and where that's not been purged, death has a right to go there. Right? So when you have that experience of Christ regenerating you and you walk in the Spirit, then that law of sin and death can't touch you. In other words, that death angel can't get into where you're at because you're walking in the Spirit.
Yeah.
This is simple stuff, but hopefully portrayed in a way to help you see what your battles are every day and how to identify these things every day. This is what's important.
Yeah.
Because what it all comes right down to is we want victories in our life.
Yes.
Because this tabernacle, this is made for the Holy Ghost, not the devil. And that's what we want. We want Christ in there. But something you got to do to make sure it's that way.
Right.
You've got to apply the token.
Right.
He's done showed you. We've seen miracles. I have. I've seen God do things. I've seen the healing and all the things and the message. We've seen that. Now it's time for it to be with us though now. See? Now it's time for us to show that we believe. And how we show it is how we embrace it.
Yep.
See? How we put it into place in our own lives. And so I think this is the thing that God's waiting on across the world for the bride as a whole to fully get where there ain't no more feet hanging out.
Yeah.
To finally get in there where she knows that, hey, Everything's yea and amen. I'll have one thing to worry about.
Yeah.
Not one thing to worry about because I'm in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. For they, this is verse 5, for they that are after flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after spirit the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That fallen flesh nature don't even hear God. It's not even concerned. It has no desire whatsoever. God can talk to it all he wants to. You understand. It's just not going to respond. Because it's not. It's not subject to the law of God, and neither can be. Right? It's just fallen. And we are not to... Why would we want as Christians to live by a nature of something that can't even be... it won't even be regenerated by God. It'll have to be changed.
Yeah.
Right? Because that nature, we don't want to live by that. And that's the nature we were born in until something changes. Brother Ram talking about it, he said, well, how would I know? He said, what were you? And what are you now?
Yeah.
You know something's changed inside? Do you know that you don't, something's happened in you, and you know that you don't desire the things you used to? If you know that, then you know there you are.
Yeah.
Now take that thing that's different, that loves God and desires God, and feed it. And always have it on display. And you'll win. You'll always win as long as that's what we cater to. But it's when we silence that or push to the side and we want to just dabble a little bit in something else. Mm-hmm. There's where the trouble comes, and there's where Laodicea is, not hot or cold. That's our call to live like that. So, if we live by those things, live by the flesh, the scripture said we will die. So then they that are in the flesh, he's not talking about in this flesh, but living according to flesh nature. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We always talk about a dead man. You'll be a dead man right there, and you walk up there and you kick him, and he won't say nothing because he's dead to outside influence. Right? So a person truly, like what we're talking about, and this was Jesus, said, the prince of this world cometh, he had nothing in me. I'm dead to him. He can kick me all he wants. He can try all he wants. Satan can tempt all he wants. And it don't affect me because I'm dead to that realm. Right? And that's why he wants us to be dead to that, to the flesh realm. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your what? Mortal bodies. How? By what? By his Spirit that dwelleth in you. If his Spirit's not in there, how's your body going to be quickened? It won't be. So it's your experience in the Holy Ghost is the very thing that's going to quicken you come rapture morning. And so we want that to be there. We want it to be there. We want it to be strong and healthy. As Brother Ram said, why do we have revivals? Why do we do these things? He's talking about a woman, you know, when she's going to have a baby. She starts craving this stuff, pickles and ice cream and all that. Why? Because there's something in her. There's something in there that says, hey, we want this baby to be healthy. So we're forming everything that needs to be there to be healthy. And Brother said, why do we have revivals? Why do we get up here? Why do we condemn and say the things and preach the word? And why do we do all this? It's because there's something calling and that other realm wants us to be ready to go. Wants that body to be developed. And it's the very thing in you that's forming is what you go to. See? Your experience. I spent a lot of time working on the house that we live in. And guess what? When it's all over and done with, when I go home and the door squeaks when I open it squeaks because it's my house.
Yeah.
Right? I live in what I have built.
Yeah.
right? Of course, you know, time and weather has its effect, but you understand the concept. We're going to go live in what has been built, and we know he's went to build it, but he's in you building it. He's in you, right? Forming that word that you're going to go to. And so, therefore, brethren, because of all these things, because he's made us free from the law and sin of sin and death, and by the, because of this, then we're debtors, but not to the flesh. Because if you live by the flesh, you'll die. If what are we saying? If you don't have the token applied, he's going to get you. That's what he's saying. Same thing. When I read Romans chapter 8, I see token. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now we're going to take a little turn here. So, if you are a Christian, and you do live by the Spirit, and you are saying no to the flesh, and he is living in you, then you are being led by the Spirit of God. And he says right here that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They're proof of your sonship. Because the Son of God's alive in you, conquering those things in your flesh and in the spirit realm when you're saying no, and these things are not having their way with you while everybody else is dying to it. That shows your sonship. And he says the Spirit of God, they that are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. So now when you have this in your life, the Son of God's living in you, that's your sonship, and that whole experience in you is telling you you're a son of God. That whole experience in you creates a desire in you to say, Father, Abba, Father, I want to be like you. That's what it does. I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to be like the president. I want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be like my Heavenly Father. Right? And so when something comes in you that doesn't long after the things of the world and all the flesh, but it longs after God, who do you think that is? That's sonship. That's the spirit of adoption, crying, Abba, Father.
Yeah.
See? What is it? That is a child. That is a household, if it were, that's been obedient to have the token there, which is the literal life of Jesus Christ, that's now available to us in full form, because it wasn't in previous ages. Now, it's here. So now, let's go to St. John, or 1 John, excuse me, not St. John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 to 24, my little children. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus, his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandments. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby know we that he abideth in us by the Spirit that he hath given. How you know that he's there? Because he's gave you his spirit. Amen. So there's his commandment. Believe. Brother Branham said it. Believe what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your house shall be saved. So believe and love one another. Amen. And if you love one another, you can't harm one another. You can't hurt one another. You can't lie to one another. You can't cheat one another. Right? And all the law is fulfilled in this one thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your Lord your God and your neighbor yourself. And there it is. See? So when you come into token life, you've got the whole package is right there, and it all is one thing. It's Jesus Christ personally living in you, you and him as one unit.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Pushing the world out, keeping things away from you that's not healthy for your spiritual walk.
Yeah.
And then Brother Ram said, now, you believe for that token, you believe it for you, now apply it to your household, apply it to your family. and do this in such a way, live the right thing in such a way that it creates an environment and they'll just want to come, they'll just fall right into it. And there's our challenge. Amen. Fall right into it and live. Amen. So I said a while ago, as we close, musicians can come. God's not asking you to do stuff you can't do. He's just telling you to do the things you can do, and he'll do the rest.
Yeah.
Right? And we can do these things. But the question is, do we want to? Amen. Do we want to walk in victory? Amen. Let's just bow our hearts to you. I'll let you out a little bit early today. Our Heavenly Father, we just love you, Lord. We thank you. Lord, we love coming to the house of God. We love your people. We love your word. We love being in your presence, being able to hear what you have to say. And Lord, as you've so many times illustrated it, we should hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And surely, Lord, this is a message at the end time. It is a bride's message. It's a message for sons and daughters coming to adoption. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for being so merciful to let us be able to be part of this. We're asking, God, that you forgive us of our failures and our mistakes. And Lord, maybe we haven't been diligent enough to say no to the things and the influences of this world. It is a battlefield. We're asking, God, that you forgive us for the failures and help us to always get back up and press on that much more and learn from our mistakes, Lord, and that this gospel, this token message of such positive results, Lord, that it would live in us such a way that those results manifest. Lord, we don't want a bunch of fame and glory here below. We just want to be like you. We all want to gather together in your great sheepfold. We ask, God, that you'd be with us now as we end this service, that you'd touch every heart, protect us as we go our way. We ask it in Jesus' name.